virus and security as I understand it. We'll see, Nick.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back.
Can you hear the show?
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. Together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to have as my featured guest today a dear friend of long standing, Nicholas Kullerstrom, PhD. From the UK, where Nick is the world's leading expert on London 7/7 subway attacks, where his book Terror on the Tib is now in its third or fourth or fifth edition, as are other of his books. And we're here to talk today about the politics of a pandemic planned in the US, triggered in the UK. Nick, welcome back to The Raw Deal.
Yeah, it's great to be back again, Jim. Yeah.
I'm just so pleased and tickled, my friend, and I thought rather than put you through an early morning episode on my show, The Fetz Presents, which is not broadcast until 8 to 10 p.m. Central, which would be around 4 o'clock your time, that we do our show now, and then I'd play the recording tonight on The Fetz Presents. Tell me about your research on the coronavirus. I mean, it's inevitable you would have tackled it just as you have so many of the other major events in recent history.
Yeah, well, my book, The Great British Coronavirus Hoax, A Skeptic's Guide, I don't know if it's the only book on the subject. I think it's the first book, and people seem to be saying it's the only book they've seen on the subject. I just felt it was such a scam. And my background in looking at state-fabricated terror events gave me a certain angle of approaching the subject. And it's a very, very different kind of deception from those that has been waged upon the population before, but in some ways much more insidious. It gets a hold of people through their fear of death, and it has sort of deceptive constructs. It's not a real illness. It's not a real illness at all. And it's kind of fooled a lot of the medical profession, treating it as if it were a real illness. And it's got we've got armies of zombies walking around now with face masks. And the government seems to need fear for everyone. It seems to do what it needs. And this has certainly been a way of getting it, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really astonishing, Nick. And, of course, we know face masks are actually harmful. They're not efficacious in protecting from the virus, which is so tiny that it easily penetrates the mask. But worse than that, you're recycling oxygen-depleted air, which means you're putting an additional strain on your cardiovascular system. You're killing your brain cells. Would you believe, Nick, 15 recent studies have actually shown face masks aren't even useful during surgery? During surgery?
No, right.
Yeah,
right.
I've got that on my blog. Those who want to check out what Nick and I are talking about, go to jamesfetzer.org and just look at the last half a dozen or so. Look at everything I have lately about the coronavirus. You'll find more than you could imagine about face masks, where even the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons has declared face masks are a bad idea and enumerated the problems, where the AAPS is the most important scientific medical association in the United States, if not in the world.
Right. Well, face masks are part of the lockdown concept. And studies have now shown that around the whole world, the more intensively locked down countries are, the higher the coronavirus incidence appears. That appeared after a couple of months of lockdown. Those figures started to come out. That you're getting a proportionality between the degree of lockdown and the intensity of the COVID, alleged deaths diagnosed as COVID. And that was actually the reason why I started writing this book. I thought, well, if there's a positive correlation, which is common sense, Jim, it's what you'd expect, because everyone knows that the way to get rid of a flu or a bug is to go out in sunshine, enjoy the open air, whereas staying indoors is not very healthy. So it's common sense, really, that the more you stay indoors and wear a mask at lockdown, the less healthy and more stressed out you're going to be. That's part of the insidious nature of this kind of mock modern disease, which isn't a real disease at all. But it does correlate with what is supposed to be the cure for it, the remedy.
Yeah, I agree completely, Nick. There's a it's diabolical in its dimensions, because what they're offering is the practices that should be implemented to cure are actually going to make matters worse. They seem to be mapping coronavirus deaths on normal mortality. The public seems to forget that people die every single day. And
that they use the ordinary death statistics. Most people aren't familiar with how, in a nation, how many people are dying every day. And by quoting those figures, they make it sound as if something terrible is happening.
That's right. And if you run over by a bus or if you commit suicide, you're marked down as another coronavirus statistic.
Yeah, tested positive, yeah. And it's been shown, we got the lockdown in the spring equinox. There's been a range of dates over a month or so when all the different nations locked down. And careful studies have shown that the day by day and week by week increase in mortality, overall total mortality, began after the lockdown. It's terribly important to understand this. The lockdown was not implemented because of any threat or panic with people dying. It's the other way around. That the death statistics started to increase. For example, we had the spring equinox lockdown, but then a week before, we had schools being told they had to shut and hospitals being told they couldn't take more patients, these kind of things. And this process causes stress, despair, and loneliness in old people. And that is what hits the old people and bumps them off, and that is then wrongly calls wrongly attributed to COVID.
Okay? Yeah, it's absurd, Nick.
This so-called disease, which isn't a real disease, is hitting people around 80 years of age. Now, who ever heard of these around 80? I mean, nobody has heard of such a thing. And this, I think, shows that what they counted as death statistics for coronavirus, again, it's part of a monster hoax, you see?
Yeah, they're all, it's completely manufactured, Nick. I couldn't agree more. And it turns out that Bill Gates had been planning this forever, it seems. He's given massive sums of money to the World Health Organization,
absolutely,
to the Center for Disease Control. Even Imperial College, Nick, even Imperial College.
Yeah, they get a big whacking great grant from Bill and Melinda Gates, and especially during the last year, 2019, there was massive blueprinting of this, primarily in America. Everyone's heard of the Event 201, Bill and Melinda Gates, but not so many people heard of what, and that was in October, wasn't it? Not so many people heard of the, I think a couple of months earlier, in August, called the Operation Crimson Contagion. That was a big four-day event at Johns Hopkins University, and it blueprinted all the main concepts of social distancing, lockdown, schools closing, airplanes being grounded, and waiting for a vaccine. What is remarkable about that Operation Crimson is that the key fellow, Carrie Mullis, who invented the PCR test, his death was reported the day before that event began. I think that was August the 12th. So everybody wants his opinion. We're all mystified what this PCR test is supposed to do and how it's works. And he could not be allowed to live because he was the guy who invented it and is honest, and he would have told us what's going on. So he had to disappear before this whole scam could take place. So the synchronism is important, as I mentioned before. Then a couple of months later, you get Event 201, and that then synchronizes with all these American soldiers going after the Wuhan, big military games at Wuhan. That exactly synchronizes. Again, that looks like the place where America tried to seed the new disease, because as part of their biowarfare program against China, trying to undermine the terrific growth of China.
I'm pretty distraught that Nigel Ferguson played along and provided this fantastic pandemic model that was predicting 2.2 million deaths in America and a million in the UK if the economies weren't locked down. He was a key participant in this entire scandal, Nick, and he needs to be held.
The way he triggered it, wasn't it? He was the trigger for the whole thing. There were large, huge WHO foundations already for an ID 2020. It's a huge plan for an ID 2020 was going to have a vaccine-based identity. Somehow the vaccine was going to be recorded in your new digital identity. That was all blueprinted, but as you say, it was a Neil Ferguson paper at Imperial College, which that was suddenly the trigger for panic. Suddenly politicians overrode the sensible advice they were getting from medical experts who were saying, look, this is very mild, it's been overhyped and doesn't seem to be very dangerous. They were getting sensible advice from their medics, and that was suddenly overruled by fear and panic. That's the way it was worked. And in this country, the thing was not even discussed by Parliament. All massive lockdown, totally wrecking the economy in this country. Parliament couldn't even discuss it.
That's just stunning, isn't it? I mean, this is going to affect all the population of the UK, and yet Parliament never even takes it up to debate whether or not it's a good idea.
Yeah, it's like when politicians start a war, you know, they say there's a great crisis and, oh, Parliament can't discuss the matter, it's too urgent, we've got to act quickly. Well, that is what happened with the whole COVID lockdown. Suddenly, politicians are panicked, and once the lockdown happens, it's all been set in motion, And politicians are under terrific collective pressure to agree with it all. This is the thing, which they might not have done earlier on. So we've got this event happening. Perhaps we could look at, if you're talking with your friends, is this terrible? How bad is it? It's a question of how to put numbers across, Jim. A lot of people are allergic to numbers, so they can't easily handle them, you know. So with America, you've got, if you just quote the total number of alleged COVID deaths, that can sound quite alarming, okay? But I think we discussed this before. If you say it's 0.05% of the population, 0.05%, that's 1 in 2,000, that doesn't sound so bad. I mean, it's still significant. And then you can go on to say that most of those just died. They just died from other causes, heart attack, you know, diabetes, pneumonia, Parkinson's disease, or just old age. So if the thing exists at all, it's just a very tiny percent. And there was a Swiss Research Institute reckon it was just about 4% of all the alleged COVID deaths were really due to some sort of virus.
Oh, yeah, it's a tenth of a percent or on that order, Nick, of the actual mortality rate. It's outrageous. In Italy, for example, they did studies and found the percentage that didn't have comorbidities, such as high blood pressure or diabetes or cancer, for example, when you subtracted all of those who would have been expected to die anyway with a high probability, the mortality rate was minuscule. And as you were observing in the beginning, the nations that have not undergone lockdown, that haven't imposed social distancing and face masking, both of which are completely absurd, not to mention the lockdown itself, which, as you imply, is creating, you know, a massive increase in suicide and domestic violence and child sexual abuse, not to mention the catastrophic effects on schooling. I mean, now, most American schools are not going to be opening. And, Nick, that means all the women who have been a part of the workforce are going to have to stay home to look after their kids. I mean, the consequences are astounding.
Yeah, and let's be clear here, Jim, that there's virtually no incidence of this disease amongst young people. I mean, that's so important to appreciate this.
Yes.
It's over 60s, over 70s, you start to get cases which are classified as positive.
Yes.
That is, they test positive and they've got some illness.
Yes.
We've got, it's a bizarre concept of testing positive and not having anything illness, not having anything wrong with you. A bizarre concept that we never had before, just because it isn't a real illness at all. But even using the official definition, school kids are virtually immune to it. And I think there are various health authorities have pointed out that that you don't have cases of school teachers catching it from kids. You know, there isn't a real risk for school teachers. That is my impression, that however much you believe, even if you believe in the whole COVID story, there's a lot of reason for keeping kids away from school.
And sad to say, the Democratic Party appears to be complicit here, because they believe that by promoting the lockdown, they're going to damage Trump's prospects of re-election by depriving him of what would historically be his greatest strength, the surging economy. But Nick, I say, who would the American people think would be better to rebuild the economy once it's in rubble than the man who brought us the most robust economy in our history?
That's the point. Yeah. Okay. Now, there's a lot of, hearing a lot from Australia. I mean, just look at Australia these days. They've totally declared martial law, and there's you're not allowed to go out of your home after 8 o'clock in the evening. So it's a curfew, and there's stories of police raiding people's homes if they don't think they've locked down sufficiently. So the general population are being terrorized by the police, okay?
Yes. And they're getting quite brutal in Australia, Nick. Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing is god-awful.
I'd like to encourage any listeners, if you want to check any country, go to a website called Worldometer, put in Worldometer coronavirus, and it'll give you all the nice graphs that you need and the figures, and you look and see how Australia's had a total of 6 months of 500 COVID deaths. Now, if anybody thinks that's a lot, let's just put that, I recommend putting that as a percentage of the population, right? That is 0.002% of the population. Or if you think that's hard for some people to grasp, let's put it as 1 in 50,000 of the population. That is the mortality they're getting, which is, I thought, incredibly insignificant.
Yes.
And I think people ought to be asking the question, how can anyone in Australia think that 1 in 50,000 deaths the population is a significant threat?
Sufficient to justify a lockdown and draconian measures that they're enforcing ruthlessly. They got more suicides in Australia than that. They got more deaths from HIV. I mean, you know, you go on and on. Cancer deaths overwhelmingly more, but we don't call those pandemics, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, someone was telling me that tuberculosis is coming back to England, and is there anything you should be nervous of in London and need to wash your hands for? It's that is getting the TB bacillus. I mean, there might be other threats, but I think it's extremely bizarre that we get a lockdown. And what has happened to people? Can't they do the simple maths or what?
No, they can't. They can't, Nick. So we get lies, damn lies, and statistics. And when you make the statistics about medical issues, you got the American population, which to begin with is the most scientifically illiterate in the world. And they are easily played. The public here is easily played. And if they have a political motivation to want to believe a fantasy, they're going to go for it.
Right. Okay. But let me just say, as a general statement for listeners, the incidence in America is much the same as Europe. You've got 0.05% alleged COVID deaths. That's pretty well the same as you've got in European countries. And if the numbers sound larger, it's just because you've got more people, you know?
Yes.
So you've got a similar incidence, you've got a similar, totally both. The main problem, the catastrophe, is the bogus definition of an illness that the WHO has put out, you know, whereby once you test positive, people coming into hospitals are all tested now for are you plus or minus on this PCR test? And if you are, then you anything you die from is going to be COVID. And that is the catastrophically wrong definition.
Yes, agreed completely. In fact, it turns out if you've ever had a cold, you're likely to have antibodies for COVID in this broad family or range of viruses. That would give you a positive test, but you're not only don't have a COVID-19, you're not symptomatic, and if you're not symptomatic, you're not contagious. So they have just shuffled all this together to obfuscate reality.
Well, what you just said, that's so important. If you're not symptomatic, you're not contagious.
Right.
Now, that is normal, traditional medical kind of philosophy or the attitude. You're contagious if you've got something wrong with you. The idea that all the world has to lock down because you might have a bug, even if you feel perfectly healthy, is deranged. We need proper medical experts who can give us work for a proper idea of disease and illness. I mean, personally, I think a scientific method should be used here. If anybody wants to give a vaccine, let's have a control group of people who haven't had the vaccine and see who's more healthy, you know?
And of course, the very idea of quarantining the healthy is absurd. I mean, you quarantine the sick and you get the healthy back to work outside. As you say, fresh air and sunlight is a disinfectant. Yeah. So what they're doing with the lockdown and quarantining the whole population is making matters immeasurably worse.
Immeasurably worse, yeah. And also they're using a test which they refuse to validate. All we want to validate their PCR test, we don't need to know the extremely obscure reasoning of the multiplying of chains of DNA and what exactly, apparently certain sequences of the DNA are detected. We don't need to know all that. All we want is the experiment. Give them a whole bunch of people in hospital with COVID, allegedly, got a ward full of COVID patients, get a bit of sputum from them, and then get another lot of healthy people tested and see if the PCR test can tell the difference, right?
Sure.
Now, that is the very obvious test to validate the PCR test that will show us that it detects what they're claiming it detects.
Yes.
And, I mean, how bizarre is it that you can't find any reference to such a test? I mean, there's an expert, I think he's really an expert, John Rappaport, who keeps making this point. That is a simple experiment that you should start off by doing.
Yes. But because you got the WHO compromise, NIH compromise, CDC compromise, Bill Gates in the center like an octopus, giving vast sums of money to these institutions to bring them under his control. And then the Bill and Melinda Gates, and then him going around the world holding symposia saying the great threat to the future of humanity is not nuclear war, but a pandemic, where he's got a vested interest. His business is vaccinations, Nick. Yeah, he wants to vaccinate everyone and make billions of dollars. And Catherine Austin Fitz has very astutely observed that these may be injectables, but they don't appear to be medicine. You have heavy metals. You have little miniature credit cards. You have some kind of mind-brain interface. I'm willing to bet you have Bill Gates' own DNA. He's out to, you know, put his DNA in the entire world population, Nick. I mean, this is disgusting.
Yeah, aborted fetus tissue. Formaldehyde. It's bizarre, the ingredients you hear.
Nick, hold that thought. We're going to a break. I'll be right back with Nick Kohlerstrom, PhD, a dear friend from the UK with a new book on coronavirus. Talk to you after the break.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time.
on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my very special featured guest today, Nick Kohlerstrom, PhD from the UK, where Nick has a new book on the great UK coronavirus hoax that is available, believe it or not, on Amazon.com and other book dealers. Nick, I'm very impressed that you got your book out first. I'd hope to make that record myself with a collection of expert studies, but you beat me to the punch. Good work. Well done.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back.
Over the months, I thought, well, all this information, I better make a story out of it. So I put it all together. I'm really just a guy who likes telling a story, and perhaps I'm a natural skeptic and rebel. I guess I am. People tell me I am. So there you go. I put it all together.
Well, you're someone who doesn't take anything for granted, Nick. You are one of the most intelligent skeptics the world has ever known, for which I admire you beyond words.
I don't know about that, Jim, but I would say this 21st century, there's a terrific intensity of untruth coming from our central government, and especially Britain and America, that they fabricate the most awesome untruths normally to promote war, but in this case, it's for the general enslavement and demoralising the whole world's population, and it's puzzling a lot of people what would be the motive, but... I think we have to try to find out what's going on, and we unfortunately don't have journalists who should be doing their job of analysing a load of junk that comes out from the government. And in this case, it's like trying to turn us into robots or genetically modified creatures, practically with walking barcodes. And we've got to say that health is our business, and we do not ask the government to keep us healthy, right? We do not ask the government to know about what keeps us healthy. It's our personal business. And thank you. We don't need the vaccine, and we do want our kids to be allowed to go to school without vaccines. Okay?
Well, you know, I do support the idea of a national health care program, a single-payer program, even of the kind Bernie Sanders has recommended. But, you know, the big pharma won't allow it. Bernie would have been the obvious candidate for the Democrats to run in the midst of a coronavirus. I think he might have had a good chance against Trump.
It would have been so much different, wouldn't it?
Yeah, totally different. I mean, Biden is not even mentally competent. He's brain damaged. It turns out that impressive acceptance speech was actually pieced together with a number of cuts. So sometimes he's wearing the pin, sometimes not. Sometimes he's wearing a watch, sometimes not. They used a very sophisticated morphine technology to make it appear seamless.
Right, okay, yeah. But now I agree with you. A national health program, that should look after the standard and quality of food and of water and of fresh air, that sort of thing, you know. But the question of what makes us healthy, what kind of medical service do we want, what kind of doctor do we want to choose to attend, that should be our business, you know.
Sure, of course. I agree with you, Nick. Absolutely.
In so many states in America, I believe you're not allowed to send your kid to school unless it's been vaccinated.
Insanity, Nick, insanity. The damages of it, that done by vaccines are overwhelming.
Yeah,
in fact, there's not a single vaccine whose efficacy has been demonstrated beyond a doubt. I do think there may be two exceptions, you know, the rabies vaccine and maybe one other, but I mean, those are the exceptions rather than the rule. Most of these vaccines cause more damage than good.
Yeah. I think we should, again, demand simple scientific experiments. If they want to give, parents want to have 70 vaccines, which is about 70 injections with vaccines, which is about what I believe American kids get as they come into this world. Fine, let them do that if they want, but we want to see a control group. A group of similar kids, similar economic status, who don't have the vaccines, and how do they perform at school?
Yeah.
And I think we all understand that they would do better at school and be more fit and healthy.
Yes, and have fewer medical problems as their life proceeds.
Fewer medical problems, absolutely, yeah. So we're not asking any complicated questions. We just want a controlled experiment of non-vaccinated kids to be allowed to grow up beside these vaccinated kids and see the difference. That's the all-important thing we need to request. Just as for this forthcoming alleged COVID vaccine, we want to be able to compare the difference. But this is what we always hear stories that you're not allowed to see. The doctors are not encouraged to report the harmful effects of vaccines, especially in America, that they give the vaccines and they don't particularly want to hear about the damage and pain that these cause.
It's outrageous. And then the Congress, in its infinite stupidity, passed a freedom from liability for the pharmaceutical industry from the effects of their vaccines back around 1984. Nick, this has to be one of the dumbest actions ever taken by a governmental body in history.
It's destroying intelligence, which should be the most precious thing in a culture, to nurture and nourish. I mean, so many accounts with autism, you know.
Yes.
Yes. Vaccine to their kids, and then the lights go out.
Yes.
After that, they've got a damaged kid who isn't going to learn properly at school, and the bright, cheerful kid they used to know is gone.
Well, there are parents who bring in their kids and watch it as it happens, as an immediate effect from the vaccines.
Yeah.
It's calamitous, Nick.
Yeah. Well, we need a natural health movement that can resist big pharma. This is an industry, and we need to remind doctors the sacred axiom of their profession: first, do no harm.
Yes.
That's what Hippocrates said 25 centuries ago. First, that's why people trusted, or used to trust, doctors, right? Because of that sacred axiom: first, do no harm. We need to remind them that is their, supposed to be defining their profession, why people trust doctors. And that is totally going up. They're going to give vaccines where they don't even know what's in them, and they're going to be, and the companies are protected against consequences. Well, people aren't going to trust doctors anymore. People are frightened of doctors, aren't they?
Well, I think it's becoming more and more the case, Nick, that no one trust the medical authorities anymore. And of course, that Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci, as I refer to him, has been responsible for more damage to the United States than any other figure in our history, bar none.
Well, we're getting this in British hospitals. People are nervous of going into them now. A lot of, so many stories of empty hospital wards now. It's supposed to be a pandemic, this COVID, and a whole lot of old people are sent back to old people's homes or don't want to go into the hospitals. People are terrorised by, for example, this, what's it called, intubation, whereby they're given, has something shoved down their bronchial tubes.
Ventilators.
And there's a very large proportion of people never recover from that.
Once you go on a ventilator, your life expectancy is dramatically reduced. I mean, you're probably only going to come off it as a corpse.
Yeah, well, my partner, people get terrorized by this. They see it, and they think that it's a consequence of the COVID, you see?
Yeah.
So this is one reason, I think, why people are going to be dead nervous of going into hospitals once they get hold of you. Certainly, I would personally be terrified. I wouldn't want to be injected in here or go into hospital. I think more and more people are going to be that way. That's a consequence. Doctors need to understand it's a consequence of the bad policies they're following.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, Nick. I mean, when the history is written of this chapter, it's going to be appalling, absolutely appalling, because it is one of the most monstrous hoaxes of history. I used to believe, Nick, that the moon landing would stand for all time as the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the world, but this coronavirus overwhelms it by many orders of magnitude.
Oh, yeah. Well, I urge people to get together in groups to talk about this. I mean, they are confusing concepts. For example, what does this PCR test detect? And what does it mean if somebody says you're positive and so on? I urge people to don't just sit in front of your TV, but form a group and knock the ideas around in your group. That'll help you to survive, help you to avoid despair, and help you think what is a constructive course of action, you know? I mean, we need to say no to the coming vaccine. Whenever vaccines are coming, say, well, thank you, but actually, I don't want it, and I don't want my kids to go anywhere near it. And we all sense what the likely impending consequences. Everyone I talk to has the same view. Oh, that means you won't be able to go on air flights for a start, you know? But
they're going to want to have a vaccine passport. You're not even going to be able to do interstate travel. This is their vision. And, of course, they have all of your financial resources on a chip that's in your blood so that, you know, if you don't behave the way the deep state wants, they can simply cut you off and you won't even be able to have food. I mean, it's outrageous.
Let's not get too pessimistic, Jim. That hasn't happened yet. I urge listeners to stockpile a bit of gold and silver, so it's not just your card, if you can. Let's not get too pessimistic about what hasn't happened yet.
Oh, I'm talking about their vision for the future,
And it seems to be their vision.
Yes.
Of what they're calling ID 2020, a global platform for monitoring everyone that we haven't asked for and we don't want.
Let me mention for the audience that Nick and I will be taking callers the second hour. Mitchell is producing, I'm very pleased to say. The call-in number is 540-352-4452. I repeat, for the second hour, we'll be taking calls, and Mitchell will be fielding them. And the number to reach Nick and me is 540-352-4452. We look forward to hearing from you.
I'd welcome any comments. And listeners got comments about 5G being installed in America. What I say in my book, there's an amazing synchrony between this whole thing breaking out and the installing of 5G. right?
Yeah.
Wuhan was the big test center for 5G.
Yes.
And that happened in November of last year. And that was just when the stories of infections in China started to.
And remarkably, if you're exposed to that type of radiation, you'll have very similar symptoms, but even worse.
It seems so, yeah. And in England, we had, I think it was the 17th of March, we had a notice. So now we've got 70 cities all switched on with 5G. That's another whole lot more, 20 or so extra cities.
Nick, I dread to see the statistics that are going to emerge here. This is a gross social experiment without informed consent.
Yeah, without informed consent, yeah. And it's a thing where the public get terribly confused about what the units are. What is a safe level? And it seems to be something like micro watts per square meter or per square centimeter. So the public get very concerned. There should be an environmental protection agency that is looking after the interests of the public, okay?
You know, Nick, amazingly, there aren't such agencies. They only look after the interests of the corporations, big pharma, the vaccine manufacturers, the polluters. It's just dumbfounding.
That has been a situation for quite a while, both in England and perhaps also in America, that the government, so-called whatever health agency they've got, they are in bed with big business. Once they get the thresholds, safety thresholds from big business, and that means male adults who can work 9 to 5, as long as they don't mind being sterile or not going to have any kids, it might be all right for them. In the case of 5G, it means they're not actually getting fried by the radiation, right? But now, that is utterly, utterly different from what is safe for a growing child and a mother. For a home, you want a home where the woman is going to conceive and have a baby, you've got a growing child, you need a totally different, many orders of magnitude lower safety threshold. And we need to have Environmental Protection Agency that will seek out those safety thresholds, okay?
Yes.
And this could be very much to do with the symptoms people are getting. It may be that the symptoms people are getting, which they're being told of 5G, is actually masking. So the symptoms they're told is coronavirus is actually 5G.
I think that's entirely plausible, Nick. I don't have an argument against it.
Yeah. So if you want to, if any keen listeners want to buy a little meter for detecting electromagnetic radiation, right? Cost you a couple of $100. You can check out. For example, suppose you grow some cress on your window, and you put your mobile phone underneath one, you'll notice that it won't grow. You put your mobile phone next to it, it will not. The seeds will not germinate. You'll notice that. Okay. So there are experiments that can be done. Suppose you're a farmer and you've got some beehives, okay? If you put your mobile phone under a beehive, the bees will all leave, right? So these are simple experiments that show harm. They show radiant energy, electrical energy, causing harm to living things. I think we need simple experiments like this that will give us, in a school biology lab or university, whatever, that would give us safety thresholds that do not damage living things.
Yes.
Especially in America, you've got a tradition of a brutal, fairly brutal development of industry without any concern for human health, you know, and damaging effects of human health tends to be overridden. Yeah, I recommend a book by Arthur Fürstenberg called The Invisible Rainbow, which looks at the way in which electricity has developed in our society and the side effects or the damaging health effects have been ignored or always because people want the new technology. So this might be a new technology, 5G, which will render our civilization basically sterile. That is a possibility, okay? And let's not get too pessimistic, but that
may be part of the objective, Nick, because, you know, most of those involved in this are big on depopulation. They want to, Ted Turner, for example, has advocated a 95% reduction in the world's population.
Goodness, who is
that? Ted Turner, who founded CNN and Turner Television.
Well, I don't know how they're planning to...
Well, you know, the Georgia Guidestones say that the world's population should be 500 million.
Yeah, well, that isn't the same as wanting to kill everybody off, Jim. That's just an ideal... It could just be an ideal figure.
Well, look at this, Nick. On the Deagle website, which has deep connections to the military-industrial complex, they give projections for the world's population change from 2020 to 2025. And while virtually every other country shows a minor gain or a minor loss, for the United States, it goes from 2020, 323 million people to 2025, 99 million. Nick, that's a reduction of two-thirds of the U.S. population in 5 years.
Yeah, this is a bit rather shocking, yeah. Okay, well, this is something that gets discussed in the media in terms of everyone wanting quicker downloads, and you do want the new Huawei or whatever the new technology is, and it tends to be just a very few people are worried about the health effects. So I think with this dire situation we're in now, we need to become more aware of what 5G might be doing.
It's going to be fascinating to see what happens in those communities in England, where 5G has been installed, Nick. I tell you, the incidence of mortality and of serious illness is going to dramatically increase.
Yeah. Cancer, I think cancer rates will go up. You know, Parkinson's disease will go up. Attention span of young kids will go down. Sterility will go up. And birds will lose their ability to navigate.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of dead birds.
Anyway,
it's going to kill a lot of birds, and you're not going to have any bees. It's going to be the effects are going to be devastating.
Yeah. Anyway, I urge write to your local MP or senator discussing the safety thresholds. My book gives you helpful information here. You'll find the ministers have been given the safety thresholds, which industry says are safe, and those are actually many orders of magnitude above what is humanly safe for families. So I suggest calmly trying to bring to the attention of authorities that we need a safety threshold very much lower that will protect us against this radiant energy. A lot of people are wondering, can they protect their homes against it? You know, is there some special paint they can buy and so on? Which is quite expensive, but
I have an acquaintance who resides in Connecticut who simply wanted the smart meter taken off of her home, and we went to complain. She was very polite, sat passively in the lobby reading a book until she'd get somebody to respond to her request, and they called the police. And she's now got to face a court indictment, even though the electric company has actually dropped the charges. I mean, it's absurd, Nick.
That's very strange.
It's absurd. There's special circumstances in that instance because she's a Newtown resident who's a critic of Sandy Hook, Nick. Rare as hen's teeth.
Yeah, it might be different. But nonetheless, despite that scary story, I do recommend politely writing in and informing, asking advice about safety thresholds and try and find the right person to write to. And if you've got a local paper, then try to interact with the local paper on this issue. You know, we need local community activity on this, and especially women can be involved because police don't like arresting women so much. So I would suggest do try and get some local activity going on this angle.
Nick, let me repeat for the sake of our audience that we will be taking calls the second hour, that Mitchell is here, that the call-in number is 540-352-4452. I repeat, 540 352-4452. Mitchell will get you on the air. He may have to call you back to make the connection if he gets too many calls at the same time, but he's very proficient, extremely competent. I'm just delighted to have him here producing this new incarnation of the Raw Deal. So bear in mind, we want you to call if you got a question for Nick or me, and you're not restricted to 5G and coronavirus. You can address other issues as well. Nick, what's the politics of coronavirus in the UK these days? I mean, how do the parties break?
Well, there's no discussion or disagreement at all. I mean, we've got a big demonstration coming up this Saturday in London, Trafalgar Square, that we hope will get a lot of interest and a lot of focus. But basically, there's no political discussion or division whatsoever. I mean, this is the technique of casting fear, you see. When you get a skilled master of deception, I would say, you get a skilled master of deception to cast the spell of fear, okay? And then it is a kind of spell casting. And then the politicians will all agree that they will all walk together in this, in unison, that critical activity is prevented. That is very much the way government works these days. And so we don't have any, I don't think there are any politicians. I mean, you can go to fringe people about what we're talking about, but there's no one in politics, I don't think.
Nick, let me ask you, how about David Icke? You know, he has made some sensational presentations about these issues. Is he receiving, you know, an audience in the UK, or is he being blocked?
Well, he's certainly been blocked. He'll be talking this Saturday at the demo, and I think that'll be quite an attendance. He is the world's most popular speaker, in the sense he travels around the world, talks for about 7 hours, you know, goes all around the world. And it's astonishing that they feel at liberty to just delete practically everything of his. Nearly everything of his stuff has been gone from the web now. Everyone's amazed that they just felt at liberty to do that. Because there's never any aggro or trouble at his talks. There's a whole lot of people who just sit around, enjoy his talks. You know, there's no evidence whatever that he causes dissent or disturbance.
He's a completely brilliant guy, and he has a grip on the big picture. And what he has to say turns out, from the point of view of the state, to be inconvenient truths.
Inconvenient truths, yeah. I mean, I was amazed, by the way, his recent 9/11 book got to number one on the New York bestseller list. It was called Trigger. A massive, it's a massive 2-inch thick books, you know. He somehow, that somehow, there's a lot about Jewish groups in it. And anyway, that was on Amazon and number one bestseller. And so I was amazed that he managed to do that.
I'm amazed it hasn't been banned by Amazon, as have six of my books now, Nick. Unbelievable.
Okay, yeah, right.
Okay, I repeat, we're about to head into the break. Call Mitchell, standing by. The number again, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Nick and I will be here awaiting your call, eager to field your questions. We look forward to hearing from you. Nick, it's just great to have you here again, my friend.
Okay, Jim. So I'll go and have a tea break now, okay?
Yeah. Have a cup of tea on me.
Yeah, right.
Good. Okay, terrific. Again, I repeat, this guy is one of my personal heroes, okay? He is just sensational. And this is a rare opportunity to interact with Nick Kollerstrom.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
RadioStation.com. And we'll be right back after this message.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio. Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer with my dear friend Nick Kohlerstrom, who's still getting his tea. But I can see we have some callers here. Where do we begin? Giuseppe, please speak up, my friend. Glad to have you here.
Oh, what a wonderful day to get to call and talk to two esteemed professors. One thing, Jim, that I was looking and studying that Deagle report from a few years ago, and look through the whole thing. And you know what is shocking to me is that not only do they list the United States numbers going down by, you know, 60%, but they also list Britain, Canada, and Israel. It's as though a world war occurred for the World War III, or more accurately, Bankster War III, International Globalist Parasite War III, and the losers are the so-called allies. If you look at all those numbers, it's really interesting.
Oh, that's fascinating, Giuseppe. I got to concede, I hadn't looked at all the numbers for all the countries, so I think you've made a very discerning observation.
Yeah, Iran barely goes down, Russia barely goes down, China hardly at all. So Deagle must be thinking it's going to be like an early Mike Tyson fight, knockout in the first round or something.
Why don't they spell it out? You know, they do have a note because it's been so alarming. They have a what they hope is going to be bought as a plausible explain it away, but it's ridiculous. You're talking about a staggering number of deaths. I mean, 2 out of 3 people we know on the average are going to be dead in 5 years, and there's no obvious reason for it.
Yeah, it is satanically evil, satanically evil.
Nick has just returned from his tea break, so we'll get him hooked up with his headset and continue. Giuseppe, are there more comments you'd like to add?
Yes, I'd like to first say I'm a huge fan of Professor Kallstrom, and I just ordered his new book on Amazon, so I'm looking forward to read it. Two questions, Dr. Kallstrom. First, are you aware of the actual deception involving the PCR, the so-called serum logic test, that the inventor himself said it should not be used as a diagnosis? And then within the idea of this is a flawed diagnosis, there's actually two versions of the serum logic test. There's a quantitative, which would be the one if you're trying to get an ineffective discernment of diagnosis, you would use the quantitative one, but yet all the tests are the qualitative one, which is the most wildly inactive. Inaccurate. Right? Inaccurate.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. It doesn't tell you the presence of a virus. That's the important thing, or let alone how much of a virus you've got in your body. It's a faulty reasoning. It tells you bits of sequences of DNA, maybe 20 or 25 of the nucleic acids, and certain defined patterns of DNA or that it will look at. And nobody can really explain to you how they claim to infer from that the A virus is present, can they?
Right. And the second follow-up question.
It's about the degree of multiplying of the test, the degree to which you multiply the DNA in the test is going to allow us to give you different answers. I wonder if you, the questioner, would like to have got any idea about that.
Oh, it's even more insidious than that. Some intrepid researchers today have discovered, well, in the last day or two, I read it today, is that the gene sequence that they're testing for the coronavirus is literally the same gene sequence that proves you're a human being. So literally every test, if they want it to be, can be positive.
Yeah. As long as you're a human being. You know, yes. that what was the president of Tanzania tested it out on goats, on fruit, and on motor oil, and they all came out positive except for the motor oil.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, the coronavirus is the cold, and the common cold has been around and is in every mammal. I think it's even in many reptilians, and it's just omnipresent. My second question, follow-up, I know there's other people, I don't want to take too much time right now, but I didn't get a chance to peruse your book because Amazon has no description or anything. But are you aware of, in 2010, the Rockefeller Foundation released a report, Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development, and it lists possible scenarios from the worst, which they call
Operation Lockdown to three others of on a gradient. And if you read page 18, which is the explanation of what Operation Lockdown scenario was, it is exactly what is going on the last 6 months with this.
Right. Global... It's a blueprint for what we're engaged in now. Yeah, I agree completely. Yes.
And not only that, but that 2010 was the year when Bill Gates began his quest to become the vaccine messiah. So that can't be a coincidence, those two things.
I agree. Yeah. Nick.
Yeah, it's so important to appreciate the way this thing was brewed up in America. And in the recent years, there have been lots of patenting of coronavirus viruses being patented by American companies. And that was one of the things people noticed to show what's going on. And with state fabricated terror, it's the tricky part is to make the blame fall on the innocent party. And I believe that's what happened when they tried to make it seeded as if it was starting in a Wuhan in a some sort of market with live bats or something. That was the story they tried to promote. That was the kind of person who was supposed to take the blame. The Chinese was supposed to get the blame. And then it seems to have worked backwards in a catastrophic manner on America, that China relatively quickly recovered from it. If it was a biological warfare attack, and I do believe that China's been under quite intense biological warfare attack. I mean, earlier that year, they had pigs, 400 million pigs they had to put down in China due to swine flu. This was meant to disable China, but they recovered from it relatively quickly, and America got it far, far worse than China. So it kind of blew back, and so there seems to be a consequence now that Chinese technology and industry is surging forward, and American is somewhat undermined by the coronavirus, its effect on the whole economy.
Giuseppe, I want you to stay on the line, of course, while I bring in Scorpio. Scorpio, your thoughts.
Hello, Dr. Fetzer and Nick Kullstrom. Very good to talk to you both. Recently, Dr. Tedros of the WHO and Prince Charles, as well as other people, have recently admitted that this corona agenda really doesn't have a whole lot to do with stopping the virus. It's really about the climate change agenda. And Dr. Tedros, also, the head of the WHO, admitted that things cannot go back to the way they were. So I wanted to get your guys' comments on the recent revelations of our overlords.
Well, it's ridiculous, Scorpio. I mean, they're just outrageous. They're admitting they're world-class liars. And their lies are having devastating effects, so they don't really care about the health or well-being or even the lives of the world's population. Tedros is not a medical doctor. He appears to be completely unqualified. And, Prince Charles is just in the realm of the decision makers, but with no obvious qualifications. It's embarrassing that you have players on the scene making these monumental decisions without knowledge or insight, much less responsibility. It's outrageous, Nick.
Yeah, well, but there also is the fact that we had a marvelous unpolluted springtime with clear skies, without chemtrails, and the rivers and oceans maybe cleaning themselves up a bit because of the lockdown. I certainly noticed wonderful fresh air during the months of the lockdown, and perhaps that is having some effects on the climate.
You're talking about reduction in pollution because of the lack of industry and so forth.
Yeah. I don't know if that's what did the speakers have in mind when they talked about climate change?
Yeah. Did they spell it out, Scorpio? I mean, climate change, so far as I can put together, is really another monstrous hoax. So you're compounding one hoax, coronavirus, with another, climate change.
Well, sure. And, you know, the coronavirus is the magic virus that allows them to enact all of their other agenda items. So they're just finally now.
We lost you.
I just found that to be very interesting.
Yeah, just that. So they're at last finally now admitting what the real agenda lying behind the coronavirus pandemic.
Of course, the whole climate change thing is to deindustrialize and turn the global system into a type of technocracy that will control every aspect of consumption and of our lives.
Ah, that's very interesting. So it's really going the digital way. So Bill Gates obviously is going to be a prominent role player in this whole phenomenon as well.
Yeah. Well, do you think anybody wants the deindustrialization with so many businesses, you know, going bankrupt? And say the aviation industry may take many years to recover from this. Is anybody wanting that or designing it?
Well, of course not. And that's why they have to deceive us at every turn to make these things happen. And, you know, the Green New Deal would be a wonderful thing if they would actually enact some of the technologies that they've been hiding from the general public for probably decades. And, of course, it's no secret that windmills and solar panels cannot power major cities.
No, they can't. No, right.
Scorpio, I want you to stand by, too, with Giuseppe while I bring in Paul, who I know has been chafing at the bit. Paul, join the conversation.
Yes, thank you very much. I would like to announce from this day forward, I've decided to identify as a woman. And from now on, I will be Melinda from California. Because that's the
Does that mean you'll be spending a lot of time in women's locker rooms and women's bathrooms and so forth?
No, I'm just going to simply identify. I've decided I want to keep my package because it still works okay. But, you know, this is the world that we live in. You know, just I've been looking at stuff and reading stuff as usual. And, you know, a lot of times I don't really think I need to. But also you can get, you know, little reminders and prodded. So these are some of the conclusions and observations that you can draw from this world that we're living in of what I would call Jewish brainwashing propaganda. So first of all, the wonderful diversity and inequality of people and life and the differences between individuals is now systemic racism and institutionalized racism. And even though there's really nothing that can be done about it, we're supposed to all be concerned and feel guilty and think it's okay to break windows and set things on fire. Now, it's not all about color. It's not all about skin color. That's just so wrong. And yet, well, I'm white, so therefore I'm the wrong skin color, right? So maybe just loan me your paintbrush and tell me when I get the shade right.
Okay? I think the latest declarations are all white people are racist necessarily. I mean, it's just absurd beyond belief.
Implicitly, Jim, I'm implicitly sexist and racist because I'm white. And here's
and
another
male thing. And a male. Good God, what an awful combination.
Right. And if I don't want to date another man, okay, if I don't prefer to perform fellatio on another man, I'm a hater and I'm homophobic. And if I don't think it's anything to be proud of to, say, engage in sodomy with another man, then I'm a hater. And I can't just relate to gay pride.
Boy, you know? I tell you, so Paul, you have nailed yourself there. They're going to be coming after you, hammers and tongs. Unbelievable.
I got a couple little more here. So basically, if we're white, then we're all supposed to feel guilty and share guilt and responsibility for something we never did and we never would have approved of. And less than 2% of our distant ancestors actually took part in. And it's not occurring now, but guess what? We have to break down the existing society, which is working fine to provide everybody a very high standard of living prosperity. And why? Well, because our Jewish overlords and our masters tell us so. And here's one more thing before I'll turn the floor over to somebody else. Here's another bit of beautiful Jewish brainwashing and propaganda. Somehow, if we discover bacteria in some heat vent at the bottom of the ocean or a microbe in the soil on Mars, it's life. But a heartbeat in a growing human being inside of another living human being is somehow not life. It's a choice. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, Paul, sure, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Mitchell, I want you to know you have a standing invite to enter the conversation at any point you might like. Otherwise, I'm going back to Giuseppe. Mitchell, did you want to add a thought?
No, you guys go ahead. I'm putting my hard drive or my new power supply in my other PC.
Okay, go for it.
It blew up last week.
Go for it, Giuseppe.
Rabbi Kallstrom, I believe Melinda is in a hormonal menstrual imbalance right now, so don't take her comments that seriously.
Yeah, I was going to ask Paul whether he'd made the ultimate choice between Kotex and Tampax.
Well, I would like to ask Dr. Kallstrom what his thoughts are on the orchestrated or staged sensation of first we have phase one of the coronavirus, which in reality was two things combined, rebranded in one thing. In my opinion, you had a bioweapon, the so-called SARS-CoV-2 with its RNA snippets of AIDS, a parasite from that causes malaria, as well as MERS snippet in there. So it's a nasty piece of work. And then rebranded with the seasonal flu to create this hysteria. And then just as people are starting to get a little suspicious, not that many people sick, not really. And then all of a sudden, boom, Bolshevik 2.0 hits us with the St. Floyd of fentanyl staged scenario, which, you know, certainly the real autopsy proves he was dying of an overdose, certainly not asphyxiation. Yeah. And then when people are getting a little tired of that, here comes Act 3, Phase 2. Oh, my God, it's come back. So what are your thoughts on the stage of it all?
The staging, yeah. We noticed during the months of coronavirus, that there was no terrorism. Where are they all gone, you know? Suddenly, terrorists have all gone quiet. Because the public are all being terrorized by this new story. So it's as if that was enough for a while to keep us all frightened, which is the primary aim of the whole goal. And then they've got a world total of 6 million cases of coronavirus. And that was like, we were saying, when they got to 6 million, perhaps it'll all switch off or something else will happen. So that's when the Floyd story appeared.
The 6 million, of course, Nick. That magic number.
Yeah. So they've got up to that key number, and then we got the very extraordinary Floyd event, which, it's still rather baffling what happened. It seems to have been some criminal, drug addict, porn star, committed suicide by taking too much drugs just the time when the police were arresting him. But anyway, it did have a very, very, very shattering effect. This guy, this new Israeli technique of the guy having his knee on somebody's
head. That's a nice point, Nick, that it's an Israeli technique they've taught to American police force to put the neck on the subject, just as they do for the Palestinians. Very nice point.
Yeah. That was an amazingly incendiary event. And I think we're still all puzzled who would have wanted that, the igniting of cities. What kind of agenda is that? Is that...
Nick, it turns out the longitude and latitude correspond to the address of the local Masonic temple, which was just down the road a pace.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Well, maybe. Who knows? What happened around July, June and July, you look at the official COVID death figures, they've been going down and down. The big peak in March, April, and they were basically zero. Basically, the whole thing had fizzled out by, I would say, July. And July and August is basically gone, daily death figures. But they, so how do they get their Mark II coming along? How can they scare people when the death figures, which is supposedly what it's all about, have gradually gone down in quite linear fashion? They've just gone down to zero. How do they scare the hell out of people? Well, they talk about the people testing positive, which they allege is infected. They talk about coronavirus cases. And what do they mean by that? They mean by people who are testing positive on the PCR. And that is going up. It's going up simply because they're testing more people. Okay? So this is, if people are really frightened of that, of scoring positive, then the thing cannot possibly go away. There's no way of saying it's over now, because as long as you apply that PCR test, you're going to get loads of people testing positive. That doesn't mean you've got any surveillance. It just means whatever you think that test comes up with is being registered. So but that is how they're getting the new scare story now, and it shows the fairly deliberate degree of deception involved. Instead of just being honest with people and saying, right, the good news is COVID is now petered out, that they're using the testing routine, the deaths are pretty well zero, they're using the testing routine to scare people. And the kind of assumption is that when the autumn comes along, people start getting colds and coughs, and they can then claim that that's some Mark II of COVID.
Well, Mick, I've heard a lot of speculation that the second wave is going to come from turning on 5G all over the USA.
Well, it might be. That's another thing. Yeah. Okay, did that answer your question? Is that what you had in mind?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I think it's very insightful that you're pulling in the idea of the toxic radiation that's going to be bathing everyone as this 5G is rolled out. It's really, in my opinion, I'd like your thought as a follow-up. It seems like this is eugenics to an extreme initiative, and what else would it be that it's going
it's
to...
Very extreme eugenics, yeah. And it's Robot City. It's robots taking over. You know, automatic cars and everything you don't want. Robot City.
Everybody stand by. We're going to a break. Nick, you can finish a question when we return. And we'll bring in the caller from area code 475 to join us. We'll be right back.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came and unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Hi everybody, it's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, and my special feature guest today, Nick Kohlerstrom, PhD from the UK. We have on the line Giuseppe, Scorpio, and Paul, and we're about to be joined by area code 475. Please just give us your first name and your state and join the conversation.
I'm Bernie from Connecticut.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, I was just listening to your little ad for a book on 9/11. And the interesting thing is that I remember sitting in my living room back in, I think it was 2003, after the first World Trade Center bombing.
Yeah.
And Judy Woodruff was on, investigative reporter for...
It was actually, I think, what, 97 or 98, because remember, the World Trade Center was 2001. But go ahead.
I'm talking about the first bombing.
Yeah, I know, for the blind sheik. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, and she had a Saudi general on who she was talking to. I've been looking for this because I sat there in my living room watching it for like a half hour, you know. And he said two FBI agents came into his office and they asked him to put a bomb in the bottom of the World Trade Center building. And he said he was so nervous that he taped the whole thing.
Yeah, good for him.
And then they made a second trip back, and he says he did an even better job. So, I mean, I said to myself when I heard that, I says, well, that means they're going to make a second pass. You see what,
right.
You see what I'm saying?
And we shouldn't be surprised that the FBI is so corrupt that it tries to sabotage the new incoming Trump administration. I mean, these people are really corrupt to the core. Nick, did you want to comment?
I don't think so. This is about the first World Trade Center
bombing.
Where
the FBI really just set them up, you know, I think even gave them the explosives. They were supposed to not be real, but they actually were and all that.
Yeah, totally right. Well, all I would say is that during the 90s, the Pentagon or the American deep state was trying to create a new enemy. They'd lost the communist enemy, and they were trying to set up the new Muslim enemy, and the rest of the world didn't yet realize that this was the agenda, to have Muslims demonized. So they tried to do that in the first World Trade Center events, and I don't think it worked very well, did it? It was really the second, the main 9/11 event, when they suddenly announced they'd got all these Muslim terrorists, and then the world was then totally given the new Islamic enemy.
But he also said to his guys, whatever you do, don't put that truck next to this beam over there, otherwise the building would come down sideways. And he said, I couldn't live with myself. This is the Saudi general said that.
Well, the design of the World Trade Center was so robust that I don't think those scenarios could have played out under the best of circumstances. The planes had nothing to do with it. Those were actually faked in terms of impacting with the Twin Towers. But it was physically impossible, given their design, for those buildings to collapse. They didn't collapse. Yeah, they were blown apart in every direction with very powerful explosives from the top down. Though there's one
That's the second time.
There's a scenario where you have the inner tube. Remember, it's a tube within a tube design, being destroyed from the bottom up by a nuclear explosive that then has the effect of bringing the rest of the building, the outer tube, from the top down, but none of the floors move. I mean, it's all outrageous.
Right, right. Well, that's the second building.
Federal Murray Building, isn't it? That was in 96.
Yeah, but he was describing right with a truck and putting it so forth. But, of course, a fertilizer bomb couldn't possibly have done that massive damage to the Mura Building. So.
No, it couldn't. But that was Timothy Bay. Was in the truck. He was kind of trying to claim that, wasn't he?
Yeah, one more patsy in the Sirhan Lee Oswald tradition. Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that a whole lot of Muslims were brought around that event and were hanging around there. And initially the papers were trying to blame them. So this was what I was saying earlier. They were trying to fabricate the new Islamic enemy. And it didn't work very well because it ended up with the truck driver taking the claiming credit for it. So the Muslims didn't get the blame on that then.
Scorpio, did you want to add into this one?
Yes. Now that the Mur building has been brought up, my eldest uncle was a member of the underwater demolition team in Korea. And when the Mur building incident happened, he told me in no uncertain terms that was absolutely impossible for a fertilizer bomb to do that kind of damage, and that a fertilizer bomb is very, very inefficient. And he knew immediately that the whole story was a hoax.
Right. It was parked away from the building. Most of the force energy would have dissipated into space. I mean, it couldn't possibly. And there were two seismic blasts, a modest from the fertilizer and then from the real explosive that did the job. Where, firemen were still pulling explosive charges out from the support columns under the building when the FBI agents were hauling off all the files, which contained all the evidence about Bill Clinton's drug trafficking in Mena, Arkansas, which appears to have been the objective of the whole bombing in the first place.
Right, yeah. But in terms of your uncle talking about fertilizer bomb, I wonder what he would have said about the recent explosion in Lebanon, Beirut. Do you think that the ammonium nitrate fertilizer could have done that or not?
No. Clearly not. He's no longer with us, but I can assure you that he would have seen right through that as well. And just look at the enormous pit that bomb in Beirut made. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Appears to have been a sophisticated tactical nuke on a missile, of course, that was Israeli launched, and they have used the same weapon in Syria, and you had exactly the same cloud. It was astonishing.
Is there? Yeah. Well, I certainly agree that the crater is a signature of a nuke. That chemical explosions don't make craters in the road, do they?
No, that was like 10 or 15 feet deep. I thought possibly if I could ask Nick a question, since you live in England, I was wondering what percentage of people do you think, when you interact with just average people on the street, what percentage of people do you think are starting to see through this corona hoax?
Everyone who's bought his book.
Well, it's hard to say. There's a big demo this Saturday in the middle of London, and that will force people to debate the issue, I mean, I often often talk to people and they say, no, it's a load of rubbish. Don't want to wear a mask. No point wearing a mask. A load of nonsense. But it isn't something you'd generally dare to talk about. It would sort of tend to get you in trouble. There are very small demonstrations, but I'm absolutely bewildered by the way people seem to believe in it and all want to wear masks and just seem to go along with it.
Let's go back to Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, to tie the two monstrous operant trauma conditioning against the 9/11 false flag created the Islamic boogeyman terrorists that even though it was 19 Wahhabi Muslims from Saudi Arabia, of course, will bomb Iraq and will bomb Afghanistan. That's only natural progression. And now that played out for nearly 20 years, and then people are getting sick of it. And Trump in 2016 ran on, we're getting our troops back. We're bringing industry back. We're going to get jobs back. So he got elected based on people are tired of war for greater Israel. And so all of a sudden, how ironic now that we have the nanoterrorist, we have the invisible terrorist that can be brought back anytime they need. So it's just so sickening. Your thoughts?
We have another caller from area code 619, Scott from San Diego. Join the conversation, Scott.
I don't think he's on yet, Jim. I'm giving him a call back. There he is. There's
Hello.
Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Scott, join the conversation.
Oh, hey, I have a question about 9/11 that I haven't heard addressed. So you brought up the, the 97 bombing?
Yes.
Now,
93.
So, I was wondering if anybody, brought up the theory of maybe that was when the bomb crews were sent in to place the charges, disguised as maybe the, structural inspection team, maybe doing some repairs that might
Too many years in advance. I think it was when they did the ACE elevator repair job that gave them access to the core columns that the explosives were implanted. So I don't believe it was done that early. It would not have been advisable. Too many years intervened that it might be discovered. Who knows? You know, maybe the explosives, don't age well. I think there are too many factors that might have undermined the project. But it's a question worth asking.
Has any of the 9/11 community looked into the inspection teams that went into the buildings after the bombing? What sort of work was done?
What's good about that is the inspection teams would then have had access to verify the structure and design of the building to plan how it could best be taken down. So I think that's a useful observation. Yes, yes, yes. Let me see if we got everybody here. Connecticut, did you have a further question you wanted to ask?
No.
You're good? Okay. Giuseppe, Paul, let me bring you back in, Paul.
Thank God, I thought I was going to miss my turn. I've been using this analogy recently to try to reach people. I don't know how effective it is, but it works for me, right? So imagine, cars. I mean, we all get around, we drive, we see how there's cars everywhere we go, and sometimes there's cars broken down on the side of the road, and of course there's a lot of cars in repair shops all the time, but we don't see them, right? So in my opinion, the insanity of this ridiculous nonsense is very similar to the fact that if you believe the figures that they tell us, and okay, let's just take them at their word, then there really aren't any more or statistically significant increases in so-called death than there was the year before and the year before and the year before. It'd be sort of like this. It'd be claiming that there's some new affliction that affects cars,
So we, everybody else, the 99.5% of other cars that are still running fine and doing well, we're going to have to go ahead and we're going to have to quarantine. We're going to have to ban them, and you can't go around and do what you need to do because some cars are broken down and some cars are in need of repair. And that's really how ridiculous this is. And Jim, this will hit close to home because I am really furious about this myself. Leave alone concussions and dislocated shoulders and torn knee ligaments. No, we're going to shut down for the first time in American history Big Ten football because somebody won't get sick from a virus.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. Amy Klobuchar just admitted she called the president of the University of Minnesota to encourage her to shut down Big Ten football. Just outrageous.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one more. I was just watching the other day on one of these YouTube things about the training camp because, you know, I like it. And I'm looking forward to some normalcy. I'm looking forward to the football season.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Nick wants to comment. On your questions, Paul.
Yeah, just
okay,
what you're talking about,
but go ahead.
Overall mortality this year being similar to or possibly lower than the previous year. Overall deaths, I think in America, I quoted in my book, and this is weekly mortality total, is below what it was the previous year. Now, in England, or Britain, we started off this year with deaths, I don't know why, but they were 5% lower than the previous average of last 5 years, the average deaths. So it was less deaths than usual, which is partly why the lockdown was so paradoxical. Then, as I said earlier, the deaths surge up once you get the lockdown. The stress of the lockdown, it kills off a load of old people, and so you get a death surging up. And now we're relaxing the lockdown, letting people out, opening up pubs and cafes, and once again, the deaths have gone down, weekly deaths, to below average, which is kind of what you expect, because a whole lot of old people have been suddenly made to die, and so you have less now.
Hang on, let Nick finish, and I'll bring in. Go ahead, Nick.
Okay, all right.
Well, I think, again, in this country, we've had less deaths than usual, this year, so there's no increase in mortality. There's no terrible fear of dying that is.
I have a new blog by Jack Mullen at jamesfetzer.org that makes a point that there's been a lower cumulative deaths here in the United States this year than last, than the year before. So that's all consistent with the absence of a major medical problem causing death on a large scale. It's all just bullshit.
Yeah.
Staying on that.
Yeah. One of my most recent blogs, Nick, at jamesfetzer.org, the blog by Jack Mullen, M-U-L-L-E-N. It's one of the two.
Yeah, I'll check
it out. Paul, is that you? Yeah.
Yes, I want to just address some of this. Okay, so staying on the virus, I had a couple more things I wanted to say about the whole societal effects, because that's really what we're talking about here. And I'm just going to touch upon this whole idea of so-called infectious agents and so forth. So I was watching this video the other day. I'm going to send it along, but there's this woman called Peggy Hall. She's got a website called thehealthyamerican.org, and she interviewed this other woman, and I don't have it up right now, and I'm not going to take time to look for it. But they're both health professionals, right? And they both talk about, you know, what's going on and the actual truth and the nature of this. So this woman talked about a very interesting experiment, similar to what I have mentioned before about what the Army did. The Army did experiments where they attempted to infect or inoculate healthy soldiers to see if they would catch colds. And no statistically significant number of them caught colds other than what have normally been expected out of a given group. Well, this woman talked about this experiment. I've not verified it, but I found it fascinating. She said that they took swabs, okay, of viruses such as your typical cold viruses, your rhinoviruses, coronaviruses, and they swabbed inside of the nasal passages of people in an attempt to infect them. And then they further added things such as they isolated them or they put them in groups of other people. And guess what they found with absolutely consistency and no doubt about it? the people that were isolated were more likely to get sick and come down with something, and the people that interacted with others were not.
Yeah.
So I think that the whole medical paradigm and the whole idea of us being afraid of each other to catch something is completely wrong.
Absolutely. That's so true. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Can you give me the reference for that?
I'll send the link to Jim, and then let me finish real quickly. Take me 2 minutes at the most with this. What I saw the other day on this training camp thing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The reason I watch is because now Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are now playing with Tampa Bay, and I thought it'd be interesting. Right, it was 15 minutes. Well, the first 2 to 3 minutes were like complete COVID-19 propaganda BS, like you wouldn't believe. It was so disgusting. These players are being required to wear the mask in the facility. Now, when they're working outside on the training field, they don't have to. It's an option. A couple of the players are taking that option. They're running around like running patterns and doing shit like that with a mask on. Completely
idiotic. Idiotic.
But when they're inside the building, they all have a mask on, and the coach was given, you know, the pep talk about the upcoming season. The coach's mask, all the players are masked, sitting down in their indoor building. And get this, daily testing is required, daily. And they're all required to have contact tracing, and they show these little devices, and they're wearing a device. So therefore, if somebody tests positive, they're going to know immediately all the other people that they interacted with that could possibly be positive as
well. Sure, so they can add the numbers. That's what they're doing, Paul. They're adding the numbers automatically. It's jumping by some 17 times because the average person is interacting with around 17 people. So when they get one positive, they count it as 17.
It's sickening. And here's the last sentence, okay? Even though the one guy, the player who's like a representative of the other players, and he's fully on board with all this COVID nonsense, right? He tested positive, but of course the quandary is he's not symptomatic. So therefore, what to do? The whole thing just is sickening, disgusting. They're killing every aspect of our society. Yeah. And I just want nothing but death for these people, guillotine for every one of them. All these demonstrations should be in front of the CDC. The CDC should get the Building 7 treatment. The National Institute of Health should get the Building 7 treatment. All the clerks and the staff, they can make their way, but all the higher-ups need to be guillotined.
Nick's got a story for you, Paul.
You're too thankful. I can't hear you. Anyway, I heard this story. Somebody makes films, and their boss wants to make several hundred grand on making a film, and he wants to get a seal of approval from the British Film Institute, right? And to get that seal of approval, all the actors have to be tested regularly, I think every day or something, and they have to wash their hands and everything. And then during the acting, they're not allowed to touch each other, not allowed to kiss.
God.
You have to do the film so that you look as if you're touching somebody, but you can't actually do it. And then...
Just a joke. Film,
you have to kind of report on or get retested. So it takes out all the enjoyment. And I said, well, why do they want that BFI seal of approval if it's so ghastly? The answer is, they might get sued. If you make a film and somebody develops a cough, they can claim, this is COVID. Oh no, I've got COVID from being on this, working on this film.
It's all ridiculous beyond belief. Yes, let me bring in Giuseppe, Nick, to comment on yours and Paul's stories and whatever else. Giuseppe.
Right. Don't forget, you're going to send me that link, Jim. Let's stop trying to remember that.
I will. Paul will send it to me, and I'll send it to you. Giuseppe, are you still with us?
Infections.
Yes. Oh. Giuseppe, are you there? Scorpio, are you there? Giuseppe?
I'm Bernie.
I think we lost.
Yes, I'm here. This is an excellent conversation, and... I'm just here enjoying it.
That's Scorpio, right? Yeah. Thank you, Scorpio.
I'd like to say one thing.
Go ahead,
Bernie.
Connecting. Yeah.
A month before they started talking about COVID, I was looking at the repo markets, and they were throwing in $300 billion a day. And I said to the woman I worked with, I said, buy food. I said, the economy's going to collapse like this. And 3 weeks later, they come out with this COVID virus.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of odd, you know, because I knew they were running it into the ground. They were just spending like there's no tomorrow. And, you know, the repo markets with the bank rates where they loan each other money, you know, and they were just blowing money like mad. So I knew something was going to happen, like a collapse of the entire system. And I told her, buy food. And this is like at least 4 weeks before they started talking about COVID.
Very good, very good, very good.
Yes, I'm here, Professor.
Okay, Giuseppe, I want your comments on what you've been hearing.
I think that Paul is completely right on, and I loved listening to Dr. Karlstrom's insights. I look forward to reading his book, and I hope he comes back on soon because he's just a wealth of fascinating perspective from the British and European view.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, no doubt.
Right. And the previous caller mentioned the LIBOR, right, which is a London interbank something rate. And I'll throw that back to Nick. Come on. This is your country's fault. You started it with the Bank of England and then exported it over here to America. You know, you got to straighten that out over there, Nick.
Yeah, you're quite right. I mean, what you had in 1913, as you know, the thing from Jekyll Island.
That's correct. Yeah.
Way back in 1694, so-called Bank of England was founded by a bunch of Jews in Amsterdam. Yes. And that started creating money out of nothing and charging interest on it. Okay.
What a brilliant idea, huh?
That is when
I want you to personally rectify that, if you don't mind.
It seems to me that was it the Federal Reserve started 1913? That is your version of it. And what that means is that there's vastly more money in debt and the imaginary debt everyone thinks they've got that can possibly ever be repaid by whatever money is in circulation. In other words, the total amount of money in the world is enormously negative.
Right. The mechanics of it are pretty straightforward, but what it really means is we will never be free, we will never be sovereign, we will never be allowed to be peaceful and prosper as long as these people control the money that we need to use. And this whole idea about collapse and all this stuff is nonsense to make us afraid.
And understand, this debt doesn't really exist. Credit means...
I want to thank you all for calling in and for Nick here being my guest. I'll look forward to having you back. We're heading to Brooklyn. This is Jim.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.